Thanks to Sunday for supporting The Instant. Sunday makes taking care of your lawn easier than ever. Let Sunday take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit getsunday.com/wow to get $20 off your custom lawn plan at checkout. And by ExpressVPN. If you believe your data is your business, secure yourself. ExpressVPN will secure your privacy and protect your information. Visit expressvpn.com/wow and get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package.
You're listening to The Instant.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 636. It is April 23rd, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Garrett Weinzierl. Hello, Garrett.
What is up, Scott Johnson?
Hey, man. This is the dawn of a new age. Garrett's going to go race his car, basically, sort of.
Yeah, that's what I'm very excited about, and why I have brake dust on my hands, because I was just checking my lug nuts, and making sure that it's good.
Which car is this we're using for this grand experiment?
Katie and I are both going in both of our cars, so we're taking both.
Oh man, look at this! Keep it in the family.
To listeners out there, maybe you're a car nerd. I have a Ford Focus RS, which is the performance model of the Ford Focus, and I'm taking it to a track.
Yeah, look at you. So people, will there be crowds, or how's that work in a COVID Florida time?
The only people that are allowed to come and view this are if you explicitly put them on like a guest list. So it's not just like, come watch everybody. It's like a learning. Well, there's going to be all kinds of people out there. I won't bore everyone with it, but I'm going with the noob group where someone's going to tell me what to do at all times.
Gotcha. No, that's great. I think that's super cool, and I can't wait to hear more about it. Also, a quick shout-out to our friend Patrick Beja, who's not been able to be on the show for a long time. He lives in France, you guys. It's kind of tricky. However, he had a baby. Yeah, that's right. Number two baby. We should play something in celebration. Here we go.
Your heart is pure.
Yep, babies' hearts are pure, and Patrick brought a baby little girl into the world. It's been a week and a half or so. We haven't been able to talk about it on the show because we weren't here last week. But anyway, giant congrats to him and his wife, who will now be playing man-to-man defense to take care of those kids. So good job. Two is definitely the magic number. And congratulations.
Yes. Two is more than one.
It is, right? I didn't get that math wrong. You can't give me a hard time on that one.
Scott Johnson, you have three children.
I do. And I wouldn't say it's magic. I would just say, because that's zone defense. And we had to change up our whole strategy when the third one came. But it worked out. It was good. I think the magic number is somewhere between two and three. All right. That's enough. In my sensibilities at our modern age, if you're saying to yourself, what's the perfect small family-ish, I'd say 2-3. Okay? We're done with the days where you have 5 to 10. I don't know who those people are. What are you doing? You're crazy.
It might be right for them.
It might be. I shouldn't say.
I'm going to walk this back on all of our behalves and say it might be just right for them.
That's a good idea. Perfect time for side quests. Jumping right in here. Look at this. The WOW charity pet program hit $1 million. The goal was reached. And that means that weird living backpack daisy sloth creature is now yours.
I love that thing.
It's pretty adorable. Cool. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I don't have one, but it's very cute.
Well, all you got to do is log in to get it. Now everyone gets it for free because the goal was broken, and you get to wear it. So basically, now there's a video that they have on this this post that they put up on the official site that shows the sloth walking toward its owner. I do not think that is a feature of this. Of this product. I don't think that he crawls toward you and then you put him on your back. I think you just assign it in your inventory as a thing you can wear, and that's how it works. So don't get too excited about this idea that you've got this like fun interactive Tamagotchi pet that's like creeping around on the ground. You got to wear that shit. That's it. I think that's it.
I believe it does walk.
Does it? How though? It's not a pet. Like how
I thought there was like an option of to the two. Clearly, I haven't done this.
Oh, wait. Can he be a pet too? That's cool. If that's the case,
that is indeed the case.
Okay, that's rad. I take it all back what I said before. That's actually pretty cool. Now I want one. because if this was just a backpack, that's not interesting to me long term. You know, I'll do it for a bit and then go, well, everyone's got this. It's not really that unique and I don't want to wear it anymore. And I'd rather wear like one of those other new backpack things that you can put on your cloak slot.
Meta in the chat room puts it in a really good way. It's like the pirate bird. Sometimes it lands on you, but other times it's just hanging out.
Oh, okay. Well, can you control that, I assume?
Oh, I don't beckon. Believe so. I think it's random.
Slash beckon?
I believe it's random. Command is slash beckon. Okay, never mind. Learning all kinds of things. I did not do a deep dive into the sloth, as you can tell.
Yeah. Slash bend it like beckon. All right. Anyway, so that's the thing. You can wear it now, and the charity program did real well. Sloth goal has been reached, and she will become available to retail Warcraft players for free as soon as today, the 23rd, right? Yeah, today's the 23rd, from within the Blizzard shop. But you got to claim her and your favorite monkey, Garrett, Bananas. I know you love him. Didn't we talk about him before and you don't like him?
I don't like monkeys in general.
I find them
creepy and gross.
That's what it was. You don't like monkeys. You think they're creepy.
If they're any larger than a spider monkey, I'm out.
Okay. So like any of the apes, not into it, right? You don't...
I do kind of like gorillas. I find there's something about gorillas I do find fascinating. But everything larger than a spider monkey or smaller than a gorilla in the monkey to ape family, just get out of here.
Okay. But you're not going to... You're not going to...
Like monkey adjacent, like sign me up for some lemurs. Oh. I can mess with some lemurs.
Okay.
But, yeah.
What are those little things with the big eyes, big red eyes that hop when they run? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the names.
I want one of those. I follow like six of those on TikTok. They're so good. And they're just like the best pets on the planet, and I want one.
Follow them on TikTok.
I do. There's like all these TikTok accounts with these creatures, and I never know the name of the damn things, but not marmots, not rabbits. No, it's something else. Frick. Yes, we are being a little chimpist. The point is that Garrett doesn't want to cuddle with a big old freaking ape.
Chimps are like maximum gross factor for me. I just don't want to be in the room. They just look like they would beat me up and then throw poop at me.
Yeah, or hump you. They'll hump you. Yeah. Their wieners are always out, those guys. They don't have wonderful. Them covered up, first of all. Second of all, they're always yanking on them. And third of all, if you look like a date on a Saturday night, you're done.
Well, I believe they chose not to render that portion of the monkey pet.
They left the banana off the bananas. That's good. Well, anyway, if you haven't already got him, you better get in there. And here's the reason you want to go claim both Daisy, this sloth on your back, and Bananas before the 2nd of August, 2021. It's a ways off, so you're all right. But that's in Europe, Russia, and Asia. It's August 1st here in North America. So let's just say the 1st. After that date, Daisy will be available only for purchase in the in-game shop. So you can still buy her, but she will no longer be free to you. But Bananas, no longer available. Done. Out. Much to Garrett's chagrin, you will not be able to buy the ape from then on.
Oh, no. What a shame.
Yeah, it's a real shame. I have Bananas for some reason.
Get rid of the monkey Brightwing skin in Heroes of the Storm forever and retroactively remove it from everyone else's account so I never have to see it again.
I don't know why I have him. I have him from some other thing. I have Bananas from years ago. So I don't know what that's about. I had a card, maybe? Like, maybe it was a CCG from the old game. Scratched it off and...
Scott Johnson, you can't bring stuff up like this without giving me time to research it.
I have an ape called Bananas that I got from a card.
Are you sure you didn't change the name of it?
I'm sure of it. I'm positive his name is Bananas. Yeah. See, there they are. They see he was originally from the card. So he's been unearthed. He's been reintroduced. And I wonder if that made that card, which these cards people have that haven't been scratched off that are still show up on eBay and stuff, they still go for like tons of money. But I wonder if making Bananas available in this way has reduced the value of the Bananas card.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. It looks like might have been from the King Mukla card. You had a scratch off and you get Bananas.
That was the one. Now that you say figure. King Mukla, now I remember. That's totally it.
I always and still do want the giant chicken mount that came from the TCG, and it is very expensive on eBay.
Yeah. That and your the Crystal Tiger, not Crystal Tiger.
Spectral Tiger.
Spectral Tiger, which I got as a code from a friend at Blizzard, but I wish I had the car because those are going for, those are like $5,000 or something.
Yeah, I'll take it and sell it. I don't really want, I want the chicken way more than I want the Spectral Tiger.
Yeah. That's what I say when I go to this Indian restaurant I really like. Give me the chicken. I don't want the spectral tiger, I always say.
Too spicy.
Yeah, way too spicy. Let's see. That's basically it. It's you know, I like when Blizzard does charity stuff, and that's all cool and everything. And especially when we benefit directly from that that effort or whatever. I donated to this charity. I hope it made a difference. It's all. Oh, I should mention, it's all just like worldwide COVID relief efforts, which we could really use more of right now. I don't know if anyone's heard about what's going on in India, but it is bad. And
you know, it's just like Blizzard. This is so selfish. They just want COVID to end so they can throw another BlizzCon.
That's all, you know, that's the whole motivation. I was thinking about this last night.
Of course it's for a good cause.
You're jesting, surely. But
I jest, Scott.
Sure. We were talking on Core last night about this idea of BlizzCon. I don't know if it was on the show or in post show, but we were talking about how on earth there's ever a BlizzCon as currently constructed ever again. And by that, I just mean, even if you just look at just like the liability that Blizzard would have on them to let 30,000 or so people into a space that is an international event. So people from all over the world, I don't know how they shoulder that liability in the future. Or any event like this. This applies to anybody. And I know everybody's really excited to get back to these, and so am I. I would love it if there was another BlizzCon, but I don't know at what level we can say that either worldwide herd immunity is where it needs to be, or the mutation rate of the virus or other viruses like it don't make this just practically impossible. And either it has to be way lower numbers of people, or they have to do it regionally, so you'll only go to a U.S. version of BlizzCon, and then there'll be an Asian BlizzCon, or one in, I don't know, China or wherever big markets are, another in Europe. Like, maybe those are the ways they deal with it. I don't know. I've been thinking about it a lot. It's easy for some people to say, bah, whatever, it's going away, we're good, we're not, it's all coming back. I get that, but I think it's more complicated. Even if we launch into 2022 and we look at numbers and go, yeah, viruses, or the attach rate of the virus is way, way, way down. You know, it's somewhere more in the flu range now. I just feel like there's a weird liability issue for Blizzard and companies like them where they may not want to do it. I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's wild. I mean, we're in the early days of the vaccine, right? Like, in my head, I was like, maybe it's plausible that we might have one this year. But I think a lot of it in my head was just like, well, it just depends on how vaccine rolls out to the rest of the world. Things are going pretty well here, but it's not the case for a lot of our friends in other countries, unfortunately.
Yeah. Canada's having a hard time.
And you brought up mutations and all that. And I don't know. I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to go down that road too deep, but yeah. I think one day we will have it again. I don't know. I also live in Florida, where we never really tried to take it all that seriously in the first place.
So, sure. Yeah. Like, you guys are just
probably be big events again, and a lot of, I think the onus will just be on, like, do you want to go and take the risk?
Yeah.
I don't know. It is weird. We are still in the early days. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but there could also be like a turn at the end of it. I don't know which direction we're going.
I have a record I'm proud of at BlizzCon. All the BlizzCons I've been to from 2011 on, never got sick. Not once.
How?
I don't know.
It was an every other BlizzCon thing for me.
And I know. You were sick. Super sick. You may have even had COVID last time. That was so bad.
I thought I might have. And then I like did a lot of reading about like first like truly confirmed cases in the States. And it was just like, there's no way, you dumbass. You didn't have COVID. I just had a really bad flu.
Yeah. You were pretty sick. I remember that. But for some reason, so I always had this rule. My rule was I'd never touch my face ever. I would still shake tons of hands, but I would wash my hands anytime there was a time to do it. And this is, you know, pre-COVID, so I wasn't like paranoid. It was just like a rule I had. I'm like, if I want to feel good through this whole thing, I'm just going to minimize the risk. And it always worked. I never got sick, not once, never on the plane.
Not touching your face is so vital.
I know. Like, that's the key. It's the number one thing. Don't touch your freaking face. All right.
Yeah.
Garrett,
the other thing is reading about Sylvanas. That's
oh, tell me about that, because this came out of kind of nowhere. I didn't know they were even working on another book, and I'm super stoked.
Same. Yeah. I was very surprised about this, but Warcraft Sylvanas has been announced and is now available for pre-purchase. It's a brand new World of Warcraft novel. You can go, you know, pre-purchase it right now. It's going to come out on November 9th of this year. And it says it's authored by New York Times bestselling and award-winning writer Christy Golden, who I randomly sat behind at BlizzCon one time and during right before the opening ceremony and just talked her ears off about, I believe, what was it? I got it right here. The Battlefront 2 novel Inferno Squad that she wrote, because I had just finished it. And I was like, Christy Golden, oh my God, I'm such a big fan.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's very nice. And I interviewed her here on the show a couple of times, but they're always very formal and PR surrounded and all of that. And so I've I asked her recently, I said, how come we can't get another interview going? She goes, I don't know. So anyway, maybe that'll happen. Maybe we can get their people to let her.
Chrissy Golden is one of the most legitimately kind people I've ever met. Yeah. And just had such a good time, like picking her brain, you know, before BlizzCon. Yeah. Also, like, another kind of bonus to all of this is if you get the audio version of the book, Patty Matson, the voice of Sylvanas, is going to be the one narrating the audio book.
Yep. So. Yep. Think of that. Oh, man. The whole time you'll hear just Patty Matson doing her normal voice, but then anytime Sylvanas has something to say, you get the real deal. Oh, that's cool. I think that's how I'm going to consume this, as the audiobook, for that reason. I think that sounds pretty rad. The book
I have a feeling it'll probably be very much like the Arthas book that I still haven't read in full.
oh, my gosh. Kinda, wait, you're the world's biggest Arthas fan. What happened there?
I just feel like I've know enough of it from wikis and and having to look stuff up for podcasts, yeah, that I'm not going to pick up a whole lot of new things by reading the book. Like, my favorite Warcraft novel is still Tides of War. Like the Jaina novel, because it was like, so it was just all new stuff that I had never heard of before, because that book was the first time that story was told.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just, I have it. It's on a list of things to read at some point. I couldn't tell you where on the list it is, but I just haven't gotten around to it. But I understand that it's just like this, it's just the anthology of Arthas' story.
Sure.
And I have a feeling that the Sylvanas book is going to be very much the same way.
Yeah, I agree. I really like the cover. Just a comment real quick about how it reminds me of like a really nice playing card, like a queen or something, because on top you've got Sylvanas in the form we know her as now, the Banshee Queen, and then she just sort of morphs into an upside down version of her before all of that. And
yes, also kudos to the artist that decided the diagonal split should be the quiver.
Yes,
because that is clever and very well executed
and correct. Like, so many times that looks so wrong, the way that they try to connect them at the hip, and it's wrong. Don't do that. Do like Garrett said. Anyway, it's very, very cool looking. And I think there's a hint there. I think there's a hint in a few ways, because there's also data mine stuff showing, what was her name before all this? Ranger or no, what'd they call her? Before she
her name was Sylvanas. She was just, Ranger General.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Ranger General.
Whatever it was.
And the group she was with was called the Forest Riders. I'm not sure which name you're trying to pull.
I don't remember either. For some reason, there's something in there. But anyway, before Arthas did his dirty business there, we're getting a model. There's a model of that, a new model in the data mining of 9.1. And then there's also this book. I think the hint is we're just going to get a redemptive arc with her, and she's going to get to be back to her old self. That's my thinking. I could be wrong, and that may sound too easy and cheap, but I like Christy Golden's methods, and she could probably pull this one off. But thoughts about that? You think I'm wrong? You think I'm smoking the Kraken?
I do think Sylvanas will redeem herself. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that clean. I don't think she's going to be like, and I figured out the error of my ways. Let me be reborn as a perfectly normal high elf again.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. I don't think it'd be, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. But I do think Sylvanas is not picking up with the jailers laying down anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And is going to see the error of her ways.
Here's the about the book in this inside cover. Ranger. Oh, there it is. Ranger General. Ranger General / Banshee Queen War Chief Sylvanas Windrunner was born of many titles. To some, she is a hero. To others, a villain. But whether in pursuit of justice, vengeance, or something more, Sylvanas has always sought to control her own destiny. The power to achieve these goals has never been closer, as Sylvanas works alongside the jailer to liberate all Azeroth from the prison of fate. Her final task? Secure the fealty of their prisoner, King Anduin Rin, which I guess we've seen in a cutscene. To succeed, Sylvanas will be forced to reflect on the harrowing path that brought her to the jailer's side. So probably some flashbacks, is my thinking. We're going to see some moments of her life that we haven't heard about before, and reveal her truest self to her greatest rival. Here, Sylvanas's complete story is laid bare, from the breaking of the Windrunner family and her rise to Ranger General, to her own death at the hands of Arthas and her renewed purpose in founding of the Forsaken, to the moment she first beheld the Maw and understood the true consequences of what lay before the Veil of Death. But as her moment of victory draws near, Sylvanas Windrunner will make a choice that will ultimately come to define her, a choice that's hers alone to make. Bah, bah, bah. I should have played this. I should have had music going for that. Jeez.
Anyway. You should have. It was very dramatic. I enjoyed your reading there.
Thank you. Screwed it up a couple times. But you can get it now. Go to Amazon. Go to whatever. Pre-order it wherever books are sold. And they're really good books. Her books are great. And I'm legit excited to read this one. And hopefully we can get her for an interview at some point. And I don't know. We'll see. They have less PR people for that than they used to. So maybe that's why I haven't been able to secure one. But we'll do what we can. All right. Moving on. We didn't talk about it last week because we weren't here. But it was a big week for one point, and that was that the 9.1 PTR launched. And to some, that seemed earlier than they expected to a lot of people. Which leads us down the path of, well, maybe that means we're going to get the patch sooner than we had hoped, maybe. There are a few weird things you mentioned when we first started talking before the show that for a hot minute people could fly in there due to some bug. And
I believe it's been fixed. I haven't gone in and tried it myself, but yeah, in Korthia, the new area, I keep calling it a zone. It's an area. It's right. Like an add-on to the Maw.
Right.
There was a bug there where you could fly in there. I do believe it's been fixed. Could be wrong. I don't know. Like I said, didn't try it personally, so I can't tell you. But yeah.
It's pretty great.
Which just makes my brain kind of run away with, wait, are they going to like surprise us and be like, you can fly in the Maw, mother effers. Here you go. Patch 9.3. Big surprise.
Yeah, I'd be all down with that. I want to fly everywhere at this stage of the game. I have no problem with it gated at first, but I just think it's time. Let's fly. Let's go.
Yeah. I think 9.1 would be too soon to fly in the Maw. I'm ready to fly everywhere else right now.
Been playing a load of ESO, just cause I've been a little like we've talked about, I kind of hit a wall with WoW, kind of holding off for 9.1 a little bit. Been playing
Elder Scrolls Online. You are so far from alone, Scott.
Yeah. I think there's many people who can understand where I'm coming from, but, started playing a little ESO again. I always love that game and I love the tone of it. Strikes me is that there's no flying in that game by design. It's all ground mounts and consistent with Elder Scrolls in general. And it feels right. And I never once go, oh, I wish I could fly. I'd never feel that way. So I don't know. I still come back to this sometimes where I just think, man, if they had never introduced flying, we wouldn't have all these complications with flying. I'm not saying I want to remove it though, because some of my favorite memories of the game are seeing like a zone that I used to only be able to see on foot, but now I can fly over it. Like it's an amazing thing. And so it all is what it is, and you can't go back in time and change anything. But I don't know, flying does weird things to a game. We've learned over time. Anything about this make you think we're going to get 9.1 sooner than perhaps you thought previously? That's a pretty quick PTR compared to what we thought.
It is getting rapidly iterated upon, and what is it today? 23rd. Yesterday they did more raid testing, I believe, on two more bosses. So I mean, they're moving along, and to me it seems pretty well put together. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's not in there, but like that's mostly during the intro quests. Like there's just a lot of redacted cinematics. I was laughing about it. Because, like, the first one that's redacted is clearly the one we saw at BlizzCon. Like, it is so obviously sure. The Anduin attack. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, redacted. And I'm like, what are you hiding? We've all already seen it. Put it in the PTR.
Yep. Yep. It's out. The genie's out of that bottle, yo. You can't hide it anymore. Yeah. I have high hopes for 9-1, but I'm also, I look at the patch over time and look at what's intended to be part of this patch. And, I don't know. I feel like the proof will be in the actual pudding when I get boots on the ground and I can play those areas. And I'm not really a PTR guy, so I guess I could be doing that now, but I don't.
You could. It doesn't take that long to go, like, at least start the new zone. But I think that I'm not really going to have a strong opinion on the new area, not zone. I keep doing that until we kind of, like, grind it out and kind of see its story through, because it's like, all the covenants converging and building it up. And in the very beginning, it's very straightforward daily quests, really nothing remarkable in my opinion. But sure. I'm wondering if it's not going to be dissimilar from Mechagon, which I really disliked at the beginning. And as my rep went up with that new faction, all these other activities opened up and suddenly Mechagon was a really interesting place to be.
Sure. And some of that you just don't know until you get past that early gating and find out what's underneath. Yeah.
Which I am not going to do on PTR. No, thank you. I'm not that type of player. I'm much like you, prone to burnout. And so, like, I dip my toe in the PTR just to take a look, just to kind of get a taste of it, and then I'm out of there. I do not want to grind on the PTR.
I'll tell you what. I'd given some nice comments in the last couple of weeks to Final Fantasy XIV, its community, and some other things. I'll tell you one thing that drove me nuts about that game, and that is that once you're used to the way WoW does it, it seems broken if it's not done that way anywhere else. And that is the way you move between zones. Like, for some reason, I don't know why this is true of a relatively modern MMO, but, in WoW, you always go from Orgrimmar to Ashran. You go, oh shit, look at the colors. And there's no load screen. There's no, like, bump into a fake wall and have it so it could say, are you sure you want to go into this new zone? You just literally transition into it because you're there. And the whole world's like that, except for flight paths, or not flight paths, but like Zeppelin trips and instances. Okay, I get it. Those have always made sense that you'd have to zone into that stuff. But WoW was different than EverQuest and others in that there was no fake wall that you would then hit and then had to load into. And they were really one of the first to do it.
Major continents, right?
Yeah. And that's amazing. That's a really cool... That was groundbreaking at the time of WoW's launch. And... it feels like every other MMO has figured out how to do that also. Like Guild Wars 2 does that stuff just fine. ESO, no problem going from place to place without having to wall it, load into something. For some reason, Final Fantasy 14 just feels like a set of rooms and they all have doors, and the doors mean you just get to a little like these weird blue dots in this zone that just means, oh, this is the end of the map and you're going to have a load screen. It's weird. I don't know why they do it. It bugs me. It's a limit of their engine or something.
Really turned me off of the Shadow of Mordor sequel. It was so weirdly compartmentalized. It felt like a jank PS2 game.
Yeah, and I liked that game, but you're not wrong. There was a structural thing.
I really liked the first one. I think I got like 90% of the achievements in the first game.
Yeah.
I quit the second one and I paid full price for that damn thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots
of loads, a lot of loading screens like that.
It kind of kills it. Really takes me out. And I think, Chatter makes a point. I don't know who said it here. Kefa says maybe it's because of the console needs, at least of the time for a PS4 and an Xbox to properly zone for Final Fantasy, maybe, but ESO is also on those consoles, and it doesn't have this problem, so I don't know. It's very weird. Anyway,
I don't understand.
Side note, just an odd thing. It takes me out of it, is what I'm saying, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, but 9.1 looks good. It looks like a good addition. Again, we're not getting a massive new zone. We're getting an area, and so that's, like, not the most exciting thing in the world, but it's also kind of on par with past patches. And kind of the arc of the expansion is just that we are unfortunately in this lull and this delay, courtesy of everything that happened in 2020.
By the way, I looked up on YouTube Flying Bug in 9.1, hoping that I would find somebody who maybe videoed it, but I don't think you're allowed to put PTR stuff up. Maybe you are. I don't know. But
you
instead,
can stream the PTR.
Can so you? Okay, so that's probably fine. Instead, I found this video of World of Tanks Flying Bug in their 9.1. And there's all these tanks flying around in the world. They're not supposed to be able to fly. So, they're tanks after all. They're not meant to fly, I don't think. And that cracks me up. So, Thanks, World of Tanks. You made my day better. All right. Time for the main quest. Uh, 19 years is a long time. I don't care how you measure it. That's a long ass time. And somebody at Blizzard thought that was just long enough. And that person is Jeff Kaplan, a 19-year veteran of Blizzard and one of the most public-facing game directors Blizzard's had for a very long time. Of course, at the moment, Overwatch. Before that, World of Warcraft. For a while there, Titan, although he kind of disappeared during that. He's leaving. He is leaving and has left, actually. There is, there's no like...
He's gone.
Yeah, he's up and out of there. And let's look at the history a little bit. 19 years, started there in what? That's 2002, I guess. Responsible for very early World of Warcraft stuff, questing in particular. There's a great quote that he gives a couple of times about how everyone in Stranglethorn Vale hates that quest where you got to go find all the pages in the book. And he, Blizzard, usually one of the most hated quests by players and Blizzard alike. And he fully admits that, but like that was one of his. Chances are if you played World of Warcraft in those days leading up till he left for Titan, you played content designed by Jeff. And his backstory is super interesting because he started with that company as he was like a forum troll, like kind of an a-hole.
He was playing EverQuest in right. Rob Pardo's guild.
Right. He was in Rob Pardo's guild. And on his off time, he was kind of this trolley forum guy. Like the kind of person I don't know if you'd ever hire today, and I don't mean no casting dispersions here. He's just kind of a very active, you know, poke at people kind of troll dude, playing in that guild, not knowing that those guys were top brass at Blizzard, just knew he was in a guild in EverQuest, and he got hired out of that, which is just a crazy story.
At the same time this was happening, Rob Pardo was currently the lead designer on Warcraft 3.
Right. Yep. And they knew they had, you know, WoW was on the paper. It was on the docket. They were, according to Metzen, they were developing those two games exactly the same time. Like it was, I didn't know this before, but they were dual developing.
I remember both seeing games. Screenshots of like internal WoW tests, like a year after Warcraft 3 launched, I think. I was playing Warcraft 3 and I remember like, I don't know, was that a, I don't know, pick a bookstore that's not around anymore. I was at some bookstore and I was like, oh, PC Mag's new PC Gamer's out. Let's see. Oh, look. Oh, there's screenshots from World of Warcraft. And I was actively going through the Warcraft 3 campaign for the first time right then.
Right. Yeah. It's a very interesting time in the game's history because they were still sort of scrappy and small-ish. I mean, they were a big successful company, but not in numbers really.
And not anything like they are. No. Anything like they were post World of Warcraft.
Right. So his time ran from, I mean, his time there ran from, you know, quest designing and other stuff, actually running, being head of that game for a while. Then he disappeared for a while, just poof, and lived in a cave basically and grew a giant beard and worked on Titan when nobody knows what it was he was working on. But you just did not see him at the con. You didn't see him doing any kind of press during that time. Everybody kind of knew he was off somewhere working on some secrety thing.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. He was the Tony Stark of Overwatch. Kinda. Jeff Kaplan built this in a cave with a box of scraps.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Cause I'm glad you brought that up. Cause when Titan crashes and they fail miserably, his telling of the story is better than mine, but the story of him is having to sit down in front of some executives at Activision and in the face of this massive failure, which they call it that, $150 million sunk into nothing, failure of what would be their next-gen MMO, and it failed. He had to go into a meeting with the executives of the company that makes the most popular yearly FPS franchise in the world, Call of Duty, and sit down to them and say, hey, from the ashes here, we would like to make a shooter. To those guys, he says, I want to make a shooter, a thing Blizzard's never done. We have no real prowess at that we know of. We're just going to go ahead. And he had to sell them on it. And he did. And they took it. And then it succeeded without any discrepancy wildly. It's a wild success. Overwatch was huge, gigantic. Has it waned in the last couple of years? Certainly. But explosive, massive success for that game. Mm-hmm. And I think he's just tired. I think 19 years is a long time. I think running that game with all the pressures of the esports stuff that was being piled on over the last couple of years, and they've now finally kind of pulled back a bit on, but all of that hot seat, all of that just raw energy that is involved in running your most competitive and most popular game at the time, I think that just takes a toll on people. And it's a pretty good body of work, but here's my other take. The announcement of this is a strange one from normal Blizzard standards when somebody leaves. And I'll explain what I mean. They start the whole thing with somebody we don't know saying, "We want to let you know that Jeff Kaplan has decided to leave the company after a long storied career here, and that Aaron Keller," really nice guy, by the way, "a Blizzard veteran and founding member of the Overwatch team, will be stepping in as game director. Aaron has been a critical part of Overwatch team and a key driver in creating the vision for the game. He helps create Overwatch as a original member of the team and as an 18-year veteran at Blizzard. He's also worked side by side with Jeff for a long time, not only in building Overwatch, but previously in helping build WoW as well. Now a few words from Aaron." I'm not going to read this whole thing, but Aaron Keller did, what was this, 5 paragraphs of how Jeff was a great leader and now he's honored to take the torch forward. And then a lot about Overwatch and how excited they are about new stuff and Overwatch 2. And then back again to a little bit of stuff about Jeff. And then they say, "And we're also tremendously grateful for Jeff's contributions over the years. Please see a personal note from Jeff below." And then there's this little paragraph from him saying, "I'm leaving Blizzard after 19 years. It was truly the honor of a lifetime," yada, yada. Nice little message. GG, Jeff Kaplan. And that's unusual. What usually happens at that company is a massive blue post from the person leaving. And that's it, usually. We don't even usually hear about, like, who's going to take over. Maybe this is the new managerial style of the company. Maybe this... I try not to read into it and go, well, maybe he left and it was a bumpy leave. Like, maybe...
Oh, I'm reading into it.
Yeah, it's hard not to. I'm trying not to, but it's hard not to, is what I'm saying. Yeah, what do you think? Give me your take, because you're the only person in my circle of WoW friends that I have not talked to about this yet. So what do you
think? I'll preface this with the same points I always like to make about these sort of things and relating them to other things. Because boy, do I see a lot of Ben Brode in Jeff Kaplan's spokesmanship and being the face of Overwatch.
Yeah.
Ever since Ben Brode left Team 5 if you're not a Hearthstone fan, Ben Brode used to be the lead over on Hearthstone and was very, very much the face of the team, the face of the game, super personable guy who loved what he was doing and loved talking to the community and getting in front of people and kind of sharing his passion. He left, went and started Second Dinner, took a bunch of Hearthstone devs with him. And since then, no one's really compared. They've had, I think, some folks that are really, really good at the role. Without getting too personal or firing any shots, I don't think right now they have anyone that's particularly great at it. Mm. New game director is a little robotic for my tastes. Mm. But the same thing happened with Jeff, and I don't think this is it. Like, we don't have any devs like that anymore, in my opinion, at Blizzard. I think with Kaplan leaving, this is like the end of the face of the game type kind of developer style. The same point I want to make is that, you know, I was really worried when Ben Brode left Hearthstone. Like, that was him and a lot of the devs that left with him were a big part of that. And we had almost all of them on the Angry Chicken. I was really worried about the future of the game. And in my opinion, Hearthstone did objectively get better after Brode & Co. went and founded a new studio.
Right.
They started rapidly iterating on the game way more often, improving the game in ways that I personally find interesting and really enjoy. And I don't think we would have ever gotten Hearthstone Battlegrounds under the original leadership. I think it would have just been way too off base. So that's all cool. So I want to preface all this by saying, like, sometimes devs leave and the game's great. Like, you can really like a dev and their vision and be sad that they're leaving. And at the same time, still like hold out hope that your game's going to get rad and go in new directions that are really exciting. That's totally fine.
Sure.
I think everyone is looking at this and going, "Ah, oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, it's really hard not to see the shadow of Activision just looming over Blizzard like the Eye of Sauron. And I'm at this point, I'm just with you, man. I'm with those people where there's, I'm usually a, where there's smoke, there's fire type of person, and there's just, it's just nonstop billowing smoke. It's like the Pope has died every day.
It does feel that way. But there's also this, I don't know if it's a myth, but there's this, there's always this feeling of, oh, this is more old guard leaving. And that means it's an empty shell of its former self. I don't know. I don't know enough about the new talent to say that. Who, maybe there's a, maybe there's an incredible new generation of guys coming. Everybody who's leaving is late 40. He's 48. You know, he could retire if he wants. He did real well at Blizzard. He'd be just fine. He could go on to work for Dreamhaven. He could end up at Bonfire. He could do his own thing. He could do whatever he wants. My guess is he's done. He's just going to go chill. I could be wrong. I think
the reason, the other part of this I'm reading into, on top of the fact that that post is weird as hell.
Yeah, it's very weird. I agree with that. That part really threw me. It's just a very stilted, strange. But also, we've had some of that with Jab since he took over. Just general messaging from Blizzard.
Most of the PR statements that have come out post Jab have been very cold.
Yeah, and
very robotic. Yeah,
I don't get it. I don't know what changed there.
But we've still gotten the standard blue post from the dev when they leave. We just got one in Heroes of the Storm when our lead balance designer AZ Jackson left, like big old forum post saying, hey, gonna miss you all, but I'm off to Diablo.
Yeah.
And it's just hard not to read into it. It's like, well, let's see, one of them stayed internal and moved to a different team and they got to like say a proper goodbye. And it's like, to me, it's hard for me not to read in that and go, well, it's because they're still on the team.
Yeah.
They're still playing ball. They were allowed to say what they wanted to say because they're sticking around. Whereas someone like Jeff is like leaving Blizzard and what they get, like four sentences.
Yeah.
Like it's really, and also like, to me, it's the other thing I'm reading into is like, it seems really strange that he's been working on Overwatch 2 this long and isn't going to see it to launch.
Yeah, especially if it's as close as they have hinted, even though they've never given a date. But and also the game, Overwatch 1, has just gone quiet. And it's still in the competitive scene and it's still a game and you can play it. But there's no regular map rollouts. There's no... Like it's weird to say this, but HOTS, which they clearly and very publicly pulled way back from, still gets more updates and more content, new content, than Overwatch does. And I think that's odd for
it
a game.
It is very strange. 2020 was not kind to Overwatch. I mean, they just laid off a ton of esports staff. They just broke the news that, yeah, hey, about those in-person arena games, that's probably never going to happen.
Yeah. The good news, in my opinion, is that Aaron Keller, as stilted and weird as that post was from him and Blizzard, he's awesome. He's a really cool dude. I got a chance to talk to him for like an hour and a half once at one of those meet and greets, and he's just really great. I think he's got everything you'd need in somebody in leadership to do a great job on that team. The worry is more that there's systematic stuff going on that, regardless of his leadership skills, something will get stunted.
And Aaron, blink twice if Bobby Kotick is holding you against your will.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that feeling, right? Just a little bit of like, are you guys okay? Are you guys all right? And it's impossible not to think that way. I refuse to go completely to the other side and say it's a burning tire fire. That's ridiculous. But it's not too crazy to think that this shift in overall corporate culture isn't part of what's pushing these old school guys out and having them move on to other things. But even more telling is that they all leave and then immediately align themselves with like Morheim's new project. That tells me that it ain't happening at Blizzard anymore.
Right? Like, that's the simplest line to draw, is that it's not the company they used to work for.
Yeah.
Like, which is what we try and meter, but at a certain point, I don't know. I think I've just changed boats, man. I'm just like, yeah, it's not the old Blizzard. It's over.
Yeah.
That party has come to an end.
Yeah. That thing it used to be is not the thing it used to be. Whatever that is, however you define it, it's just not that anymore. Or at least it just appears not to be. And unless they show us some other thing that tells me different, you know, I don't see it happening. If you want to hear some really honest and cutting commentary, listen to the last episode of Core. John Jagger in particular had I think a really strong take about some of this, and I won't try to reiterate it here, but this discussion reminds me of how I mean, he was pretty blatant about it, but it was really good. And I think maybe helps describe some of this feeling that we're all feeling about the venerable old machine that is Blizzard. So,
it's Overwatch, and I have a little bit of a bias because I just don't think the game is good enough to warrant still having fans, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, to me, that game did not have a long tail.
And I think it could have,
because like, I could not, you couldn't pay me to feign interest in it at this point, which is why I haven't done Overwatch coverage in forever. And also, like, I've been somewhat outspoken about thinking Overwatch 2 looks like an expansion and not a new box product.
Yeah.
Like, it, Overwatch 2 really truly does look like a money grab to me, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Yeah. It looks like they want a new box on shelves to make money.
Or a way for executives at, not to get conspiratorial, but executives at Activision to feel like, oh, big movement on the Overwatch front, we'll sell a ton of those copies because they have a 2 on it. It does feel that way. Because what they showed does not feel like a sequel. What they showed feels like bonus content. And I'm all for bonus content.
But to me, man. Like, it's like, oh, cool new costumes. Those could just be skins.
Yeah, they could be.
And we could just keep adding new maps and adding new modes and expanding the existing game.
And the little tweaks you're making to the engine to make it better performing and just nicer looking or whatever, those are super incremental. And they look good, but they're not generational. They're very small.
Yeah. So, and again, it's like there's a part of my brain that go like, this is such a meaty conversation for me. I could talk about this forever. But my brain kind of goes like, I look at Hearthstone as like my example.
Right.
As like, yeah, I really enjoy it. I love still talking about it. I love playing the game. I don't feel the same connection to it that I did like when the original developers and the original team was there, because it was just, it felt family adjacent, like actual friends with some of those people.
Sure.
And it just felt like something I wanted to be a part of the community of. And now it's like the game is holding my interest more than it ever has. It's just constantly firing on all cylinders with new updates and whatnot. And there's been some missteps, and they've had to, you know, patch and fix some things, but I would rather have regular updates and there to be some bugs and then fix it afterwards and be bored for 3 months.
Yeah.
And so like with my, I'm kind of wondering if Blizzard's going to go that route where like, I'm not going to be a diehard fan anymore. Where like, it's this part of my identity, even though it will always be. My life is forever changed because of the games that's made by this damn company.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's undeniable. But, in my case,
but like at this point, I'm just like, what do you want me to do? Like, and it's like they keep firing people. Like, yeah. They've really lost, in my opinion, their ability to connect with us on a personal level.
That's the biggest change. If I'm really getting down to it, the biggest change for me, this is just a personal take, and I think you probably share this, and I know others that do, but they are not connecting with their most ardent fans and their most ardent creators anymore like they used to. They just aren't. They don't reach out like they used to. I don't know if it matters to them as much as it used to. And it's okay. You know, I mean, I don't need to constantly have that feeling that somebody at Blizzard is making sure to talk to the community in that way. And maybe they pulled back from that because it's just not profitable. I don't know. I don't know what the reasons are, but it's definitely, there's a change there. And I know there's a lot of change arounds in PR, and there was a big change around the way the community works over there. And I can tell you, I can feel it. I can totally feel it. It's just different than it used to be.
Yeah. So that's just kind of the thing. I think Blizzard's going to become a studio that probably puts out way more games more often that are probably really fun to play, but I think also doesn't grow and foster feverishly joyous fans the way it used to.
Yeah. Cause that kind of fandom is rare. Like, it's rare. There aren't too many companies that, engender that sort of following. You might could say Valve, but they're really not making games anymore. So the reasons you used to just slavishly think about Valve, that's diminished in the face of just Steam being a money printer, and they don't really need to do much else. They do things here and there, but Riot feels like they've got a little of this DNA, but most of that's from people who have left Blizzard and gone there anyway. And also,
and Lord knows they have their own cornucopia of issues.
Exactly. So everyone always says never put too much faith in companies. You know, companies aren't there for you or whatever. But Blizzard always held this rarefied space of feeling like that was maybe a little bit different. And the more they lost their independence, even at their massive size, I think that's where we're at now. And I think it was just always inevitable. It's just like, well, at some point, a lot of this is Activision having to rely on Blizzard for more and more of its bottom line, because on the Activision side, you got Call of Duty, and that's kind of it. You lost the Destiny exclusivity stuff. They're gone doing their own thing. Which
seems so
it's
strange.
Just, I'd love to know more about that. That's a story. I want to sit down with some Bungie people. I want to hear that story. We're never going to hear it, but I want to hear it.
I bet there's some people at Blizzard that want to talk to some Bungie people. Tell us how you did it.
Yeah, it's just an odd thing. And I feel like they're being really careful, too slow with stuff, calling Overwatch 2 a sequel instead of what it looks like, which is more like expansion pack. Diablo 4 is the one, to me, is the one shining thing that still looks like a bunch of hardcore devs working real hard on a thing we're all going to love. That's right now, at least I have that feeling. Whatever that feeling is, I have it with Diablo, and I'm stoked. But everything else feels like holding off, being careful, nothing new. I don't know what that internal development was about that was all top secret, because the only one we really heard about was the canceled StarCraft shooter project. And then that all those really key people just left. They're like,
well, and that was via an anonymous source. Like, that wasn't Blizzard being like, hey, we want y'all to know we were working on the StarCraft thing and we just shit-canned it. That was like people in Blizzard being probably annoyed or angry enough that their baby got killed. And they're like, that's it. That's it. I'm going to Kotaku. Telling my story.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But like Dustin Browder and those guys taking off after that was very telling. And that was also super stealthy and quiet. Like there was no... They didn't want to advertise that after many years, Dustin Browder, after all, that was just like a weird, like gone kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's being professional, man. Like, what are they going to do? Like raise a big stink? Like for what? For just to rile people up to.
Well, I figured it'd be what I mean by that is like, I thought Blizzard had just come. I thought they'd be less stilted and more positive about it. Like more of, wow, Dustin, what a legacy he's had here. There'd be no StarCraft 2 without him. There'd be no HOTS without him. Like, this is we're really going to miss him, but we know he's going to do great things. We didn't get any of that. We just got, we got anything. I think I found out like fourth hand. It was weird.
I found out from that Schreier piece that talked about. I was like, wait, when did Browder leave?
Oh, right. That was the Schreier thing.
Yeah, they're always Schreier, man. Like,
yeah,
dude is just people love dropping bomb.
He's a magnet for that stuff.
Unattributed news to Jason Schreier.
Yeah, he likes that stuff. Well, anyway, there's more to be said about this. Certainly, in future episodes, we'll dig a little deeper. But Jeff Kaplan, a name of infamous quality here at Blizzard. There at Blizzard.
Gonna miss you, man.
Yeah.
Excited to see what you do next, even if it's relaxing in a hammock.
Oh, lawn care. Who likes it? Do you? Well, I don't mind it if I know what I'm doing or if I can have a nice lawn, but sometimes, even as hard as I try, it doesn't really work out the way I want it to. So that's when I bring in Sunday. It's more than just a lawn care product. It's a custom lawn care plan with a variety of ways to help you grow a beautiful lawn, control your weeds, and remove pests. They take out all the guesswork and unwanted chemicals so you can grow a beautiful lawn that's better for people, pets, and the planet. So what I like about Sunday the most was how easy it was to use the website. You just go in there, it scans your area and says, yeah, this is what you need, and then they send it in the mail. It's pretty great. The free lawn analysis is simple, fast, and accurate, and it really is working for us. I mean, I've already got weeds that I don't have to look at anymore, which is kind of nice. Anyway, here's what I want you to do. They're taking more care of your lawn than ever, Sunday is. And I just went to Sunday.com, put in my home address, and their free lawn care analysis took care of the rest, all in just seconds. Sunday uses soil and climate data to create a tailored nutrient plan, so you get all the stuff your lawn needs and nothing it doesn't. Sundae is made with ingredients that you can actually pronounce, like seaweed, iron, and molasses, so you can grow better and feel better about it. All I had to do was attach the ready-to-use pouch to a garden hose and spray. It was that easy. Best of all, this stuff really works. All my grass looks better than ever, and it's early in the spring still here. It's still kind of cold where I live, but yet it's working. Let Sundae take the guesswork out of growing a greener, more beautiful lawn this spring. Visit GetSundae.com/wow and get $20 off your custom lawn plan. That's even better. At checkout, that's $20 off your custom plan at GetSundae.com/wow. Go do it today. Today's episode is also brought to you by our friends at ExpressVPN. I love ExpressVPN, and I appreciate them supporting the show. I think my data is important. Do you? A few decades ago, private citizens like us used to be largely that, private, but something changed. The internet. Think about everything you've ever browsed, searched for, watched, tweeted, whatever. Now imagine all that data is being crawled through, collected, aggregated, and sold by third parties. It's all part of the permanent record, your record. Having your data and your life exposed that way is, I don't know, it's pretty lame. Only celebrities used to have to worry about that stuff, but now you do. So, to keep my data private when I go online, I use ExpressVPN. Did you know that there are hundreds of data brokers out there? Their sole business is to buy and sell your data. The worst part is they don't have to tell you they're doing it or get your consent. Every time I use ExpressVPN, again, I get a random IP address. I get have that shared with other ExpressVPN customers. That makes it more difficult for third parties to identify me and harvest my data. No taking my data. And the best part is how easy it is to use. No matter what you're on, phone, laptop, smart TV, you just have one tap and you're in. That's my favorite part. Might be yours too. So if, like me, you believe your data is your business, secure yourself with the number one rated VPN on the market. Visit expressvpn.com/wow and get 3 extra months for free. That's expressvpn.com/wow. expressvpn.com/wow. Go there and learn more. My favorite story, I told this on Twitter, I'll tell it again. My favorite story of Jeff Kaplan is this. I only met him a few times at Blizzard, and it was very short. Handshakes upstairs, just nothing, you know, never really got to know him. Knew more about him through Metzen than I did personally. But there was one morning before opening ceremonies. We were down in the Hilton Bar area, Kim and I, and maybe somebody else was there. Maybe just been Kim. Oh, my kids were there that year. We were all there. And it was, I think, the year, it was 2015. That's what it was. And we're sitting there, and off to my periphery, I see him and I think Cho and somebody else show up real quick. They looked like they were in kind of a hurry. And they sat down, and the waiter brought them burgers. And I watched these three Overwatch guys. Oh, it was probably Aaron Keller, actually. And I watched them eat those.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to pause. Are you about to tell me that you creepily sat in a corner and watched Blizzard developers chow down on some burgers?
Yes, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it, because here's why. Normally eating, fine. I'm not watching. No big deal. These guys ate these burgers like ravenous zombies in a brain factory. I've never seen anybody eat a burger like that. Just,
you definitely have never had an interview scheduled immediately after something you were trying to watch at BlizzCon.
Well, that's definitely what was going on. And as far as I know, they hit every one of their time points that day, and it was all good. But holy shit, that burger disappeared.
What a weird story.
I know, it is
like
weird.
The creepiest dude ever. You're over in the corner like, notice me, Burger Senpai. What are you doing, man?
It's really weird. I couldn't not look. Because they had sat down, ate those burgers, and were out of there in 3 minutes. Unbelievable.
Oh boy.
Big, fat Hilton burgers. Anyway.
Let this be a lesson to you. If you're at BlizzCon chowing down, look around, because Scott Johnson may just be watching you eat.
Well, I had a hot second there. I was like, I had to get up and just go over there and say hi, because I think, you know, we'd met before, and I almost did, but then I'm like, no, look at the way they're eating. That's insane.
I never met Jeff.
Yeah, he's
I
mean, nice.
I've always really liked Jeff. It was awesome. You know, the short stint I was doing Overwatchers with Patrick, you know, it was awesome having Jeff at the helm. He's just,
yep.
That dude, like, he's got an awesome energy about him. It's funny to hear too, that he had kind of a trolly tendencies in his earlier days. I wasn't aware of that, but
yeah, that's a funny,
he clearly grew a lot as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he's just, That man is freaking motivational. He should go do motivational speaking.
Yeah, him just talking about games was fun to watch. And when he would do those video updates, which nobody on any other team was doing stuff like that. That was like, man, why isn't the rest of Blizzard doing these? These are great. And him sitting in front of that fireplace during Christmas for hours was amazing. Like the most meme-y thing ever. Like there's just a lot of that stuff. But then on the other hand, he's this glasses wearing kind of soft spoken guy that like it was a perfect combo. All that stuff just worked as a good PR thing. And I know not everybody can be that and do that. Not everyone can be him. Not everybody can be Metzen. Not everybody can be that rock star on those stages and be heads of development or whatever. But he's like the last one I can think of who's left that can do that. I don't know. Some new guy that hasn't had a chance. See, that's the other problem I have. There is probably a handful of people who could be the next Kaplan, could be the next Metzen, could be the next Browder. But is this now the environment that it used to be where those people could find that path? Or is it all being held back and is it all nervous and is it all weird? That's what I don't know. And those people will go somewhere else before they find out. But
that's kind of where I was going with the, like, to me, like Overwatch 2 looks a little cash grabby and like, I don't know. To me, this reeks of like corporate meddling. Like, I feel like the dude, there was a breaking point.
Yeah.
And that, like, it's, I usually don't let these personal thoughts fly. Yeah. I try and not feed the conspiracy fire, but it is just hard not to look at this and be like, dude's been working on the sequel for so long. Why leave now?
Yeah. It's weird. The timing's weird. All right. Well, we've done what we can do there, but have we done this?
Mr. Johnson, I have questions.
No, we haven't. We haven't answered this email yet. Theinstance@gmail.com is the email address to use, and the guy who wrote in is Bill. Bill, thanks for writing in. He says, hello, gentlemen. Scott and Garrett, been a long time listener. He's not a long listener. He's a long time listener.
Might be a long individual. Sure. Don't know.
I'm 6'4". I feel long sometimes. Yeah. Oh, I probably should not talk about that anymore. Anyway, been a long time listener and played since shortly after launch and right up till Legion. I've stayed active in the community, even though I no longer play. I've been very interested in the classic re-releases of expansions and thought that they were a unique way for Blizzard to celebrate its historic game with players and fans. Well, I agree. With Burning Crusade coming in the near future and the inevitable announcement of Wrath Classic, I don't know if it's inevitable, but whatever. We'll get to it when we get to it. I got to thinking that perhaps they are sweetening players up for something. What if these classic realms are a way to prepare players for the next generation of World of Warcraft, meaning WoW 2? Could Blizzard be working on a new version of the game that brings it into the modern era of gaming? Classic realms would also allow players to continue with the original game while retail goes down. Goes down? Oh, I mean, it goes down in numbers, I guess. Then come back to this new high-res state for all new game altogether. Is this even possible? Is there anything that could validate this line of thought? What would be needed to do such a thing? And how would it play out? What are your feelings about WoW 2? Thanks for the podcast that I consistently listen to. Thanks for the many years of joy and laughter that you have given me by sharing your lives with us. Forever a fan, Bill. Well, Bill, I've often thought about what WoW 2 would be. Back in the day before he went kind of weird, Kurt Schilling would come on the show and say, oh, they're going to make a WoW 2. You watch, there'll be a WoW 2. He'd always talk about that. And I remember at the time thinking he was crazy because why would they ever cannibalize their own game with a game on top of a game? And we've seen what happened with EverQuest 2. It was never the success that one was and blah, blah, blah. But the longer we get into the lifespan of the game, the more I'm convinced that if they did launch a proper MMO sequel to WoW, that it would be a massive success for them. And WoW Original would basically become a place where people could go and play basically at a giant classic WoW that included classic WoW, but then sort of classic retail WoW. And it just sort of exists in its own place and does its own thing and has its fans that no one ever wants to leave. But they would make gangbusters and destroy the world with a proper sequel. But I feel like now after today that would require the Blizzard of old to pull off. I'm not sure they have the heart for it now. So that's my take. That's why I don't think we'll get it, because I don't think the heart's there like it used to be.
I think it will surprise you to hear that I don't really disagree with you. we like
no.
The longest time I've I've agreed with you and I still agree with you. Like, I agreed with old Scott, who was just like, no, what are you nuts? You can't do WoW 2. Look at EverQuest 2. No one gave a crap.
Yeah.
There's still people playing EverQuest 1. Maybe that's what Jeff Kaplan's going to do. He's going to go return to his roots and just live out his retirement. If he even is retiring, just jam in EverQuest 1 sessions.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
We're really just in uncharted territory from the vanilla, like the vanilla to like Cataclysm Mists arc, man, like that, the golden just domination World of Warcraft empire where mm-hmm. no other MMO could even make a dent. It seemed like a proper WoW 2 would just be the worst idea on earth.
Yeah.
But now we're like, and there was just such a, there was like a, such a clear picture of what the MMO landscape looked like. You had World of Warcraft and you had everything else.
Everything else. Yeah.
And it just, it was what it was. Right. But now we're like, we are in like the twilight years of World of Warcraft. Like, this game is old. It doesn't have as many players as it used to. It will probably never have that many players again. And at the same time, it's just like the MMO landscape has changed because you don't have so many also-rans trying to be the next World of Warcraft.
You've got very unique takes. Like, Final Fantasy XIV is a very different kind of game tonally and story-wise and everything else. It's like providing a different thing, not just a clone. Guild Wars 2 feels a little clony, but they have their own words or things to say. ESO plays very differently. It plays more like a shooter, third-person shooter in a lot of ways. And
plays more like a proper actual Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah, like an Elder Scrolls game, which is a very different kind of game. Which is why I always come back to this. I don't want WoW 2. I want WoW, the single-player Skyrim-like. I want that world and that fidelity and that massiveness in a giant arcing story where I am the center of it and I don't care if I'm grouping with anyone. I just want to play that single player game. I don't think that's probably ever going to happen in my lifetime, but I would pay for the hell of that game to get made. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Cause if it's going to be so similar, it's like, again, you should just do like a complete overhaul of the current game.
Right.
Like every single item, every blade of grass is exactly where it is. It all just looks better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then I was just showing the chat an Unreal 5 recreation of Nagrand somebody made. Every time I see one of these where someone goes and takes a modern, you know, photorealistic engine and makes Warcraft stuff, you know, Silver Moon and this engine or whatever it is, it just makes me go, oh, I want that world, but in a giant single player. Doesn't even have to, I don't just mean just like a Bethesda Elder Scrolls game. I just mean the WoW thing, but give me that massiveness and that detail and that texture level and that whatever. I really want that. It's not going to happen though. I want it to, but it won't.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But at the same time, like, yeah, it's like we're in such an uncharted territory. And it's like, what could be next? And it's like, yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't think it's likely. I don't think it's plausible.
Yeah.
But I think a Warcraft or a WoW 2 could work now because we're just so far into it.
Yeah, we're 15 years into this damn game. That's long. That's a long time. And some would say, well, we're still playing EverQuest. That's 20 something. Yeah, I get it. But we're not, this isn't, no disrespect to EverQuest or any other long running anything. But World of Warcraft is the gorilla, and it's a different animal when you're talking about it. It just is. So
I'm glad that you went with an ape that I like.
One of the apes you like, the one that isn't going to hump you or throw poo at you. That's what I like, too.
It's going to fight Godzilla until it has a reason not to fight Godzilla. And I'm not going to say why it wouldn't fight Godzilla, because that would be a spoiler, but you get the idea.
All right. Now, you may have noticed that we got into some deep discussion today in and around the Kaplan moving thing, but also the state of Blizzard. And I'm happy to report that we're doing a little behind the scenes construction on the show that will mean more of that. And I don't mean just like, you know, oh, Blizzard's in trouble kind of talk. That's not what I mean, but like,
we're becoming the doomsaying edition.
No, we want to have deep, esoteric, broader discussions about bigger issues around the game, around the company, around how these kinds of games are made. I'm not going to give you a ton of detail here because we're still working through it, but we have some really cool ideas we're working on. So you know, for a show that's as nearly as old as the game itself, doing a few little tweaks behind the scene to, I don't know, bring it into a place that we're both passionate about. So watch for more of that coming soon. There's a little teaser for you. Oh, before I forget, my Rock Runner campaign's still going, and I made, I spilled a drink on it this morning, and I'm super embarrassed, but while I was doing the show, I spilled it. Anyway, we made a playmat for Rock Runners Incorporated, the game I'm kickstarting, currently on Kickstarter, and it's this awesome little playmat, neoprene mat, where you put your deck of draw cards, your play deck, and these tokens that you get for who wins the game for Rock Runners Incorporated. If you haven't heard of it before, it's a Kickstarter card game I'm making, a physical one. I did all the art, the design, the game concept, all of it, and it's up on Kickstarter right now, ripping through its various stretch goals, thanks to you fine folks at home. If you haven't checked it out, there's still time, and we've already done some really rad upgrades because of the levels we've gotten to, including some free stuff that you weren't ever going to get before, and now you're going to get. So if you want to learn more, go to Kickstarter and search for Rock Runners, or you can go to frogpants.com/rockrunners for details.
Scott, you should make a new like donor level, make it some obscene amount, and it's a one of, like one of one. Mm. And if they do that, they get your stained prototype that you just spilt the drink on.
Yeah. I mean, I'll get another sample in soon because these are just proof samples. But yeah, I'm hanging on to it with the big fat stain on it in case somebody wants this once in a lifetime version of the pad. Nice idea. I shouldn't call it a pad that absorbs things. I'll call it something else. Anyway, that's a fun thing, and I'm super stoked about it. And a giant thanks to anybody who has helped support it thus far. It's been really fun so far. Quick note that you can find all our stuff at theinstance.net, including our support system. Go over there and become an Instance Plus member today and get rad benefits, including artwork in the mail. You want a cool card in the mail every month? That's one way to get that. So go check it out. That's theinstance.net. Garrett, anything going on amove.tv this week that we should know about?
Well, one Jocelyn Carney has been absent from the Angry Chicken for a month, and this past Monday made her triumphant return to the program.
Nice.
So I would recommend you go and listen to that. Everything's at amove.tv. Just go there. I've got tons of podcasts. Yeah. Go give it a listen.
Tons of content.
amove.tv.
That's right. If you don't, if you're like, man, Heroes of the Storm is still my favorite Blizzard game, good news. Kyle,
yeah, we had a really great chat yesterday with Bahamut from the CCL because season two starts this weekend.
Nice. So you look at that. Reaching out to the community, making all kinds of rad ideas happen over there at amove.tv.
Oh, one more thing. Can I do a weird thing I don't usually do?
Yeah.
Follow me on Instagram. It's Gare, G-A-R-E underscore G-W, because I'm going to a racetrack this weekend and I'm going to post things on there.
It's pretty awesome. I think that's so cool that you're doing that. I can't wait to see what comes out of that. So watch Garrett hopefully either wipe out or win the race or something. However that works, you'll find out by following him on Instagram. It's going to do it for us. Huge thanks to everybody for listening. Theinstance.net is our website. Instance Show on Twitter, if you're looking for that. Find out when we go live, all that sort of stuff. And you can find me at Scott Johnson, Garrett at Garrett Art, and more shows like this at frogpants.com. I think it's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett, for all of you. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.